So I'm Sarah Honeychurch from the University of Glasgow. This is Shazia Ahmed, also from the University of Glasgow. And we're going to talk to you about how we use Facebook groups in the College of Science and Engineering in order to do something that we call VPAL, which is Virtual Peer Assisted Learning. So before I start, how many of you in here use Facebook? Quite a lot of you. Right. How many of you use Facebook professionally? Well, I know you do, Beryl, because I've heard you talk about it. How many of you know the difference between a profile, a page, and a group? And how many of you understand Facebook's privacy settings? Yeah, I'm not sure if I do. Okay, just interested in that. I'll come back to that. So, over to...
Well, my role at the University of Glasgow is, my job title is Maths Advisor, and I do all the maths support for students at the university. And the bulk of the students that I see come from the College of Science and Engineering. About 6-7 years ago, the university was very keen to implement face-to-face peer-assisted learning, and there were huge amounts of problems trying to implement that. So Glasgow University has a college entry system, which means that all the students not doing a professional degree do 3 subjects in first year, and within reason, you can actually pick anything that you want, you know. So that makes everyone's timetables very interesting. Everyone does slightly different things. We have huge classes. So just talking about my subject for maths, in level one, there are 2 courses. One level one module has about 120 students, and the other one's got something like 650. So, so the second one, that is taught in 5 different classes, and there are about 50 different tutorial groups, and so you can imagine timetabling's a bit mad. And so trying to find a timetabling slot for peer-assisted learning sessions was quite challenging, and room bookings is an even bigger challenge. If you don't have a course code, it means that booking a room is really hard. And then Glasgow University seems to have rather a lot of commuting students. So apparently about 40-ish% of our students live within a 30-mile radius, and they commute daily. And so the best time that we were finding for these PAL sessions were after 5 o'clock, and for the commuting students that was really difficult. So we felt that it might be a good idea to try something virtual, because really having some kind of peer-assisted learning was better than none at all. We had no idea how it might work. So,
I'll just do a slide.
Thank you. So in the beginning, it was the first year that we tried it out. We thought, right, we're going to stick with what we know. So we went for a maths group because I'm a maths person, and my colleague who was working with me at the time, she's a computer scientist. So we went with these 2 groups in the beginning to see how it would work. And because it worked so well, at the end of the year, we felt it would be a shame to sort of disband that community. So what we did is that we rolled over that group, and we just changed the name to, so the groups are called Level 1 Maths, Level 2 Computing, Level 1 Computing, etc. And we changed the name to Level 2. And I was very keen to work with, I have a group for Level 1 Engineering because I do a lot of work with those students. And the physics just kind of came in because we got chatting to one of the lecturers in physics, and he said, oh, why don't you try one for us as well? And so we did. So that was us in second year. Okay, so over the years, so 6 years on, we have over 40 groups now that we, between us, moderate. And so the way the cycle works is that in August, what I do is I create all the new groups for the incoming cohort. And it actually starts off, the process for a student starts with being invited to join the College of Science and Engineering entrance group. And within the entrance group, what I do is I put on a pinned post at the top with links to all the other groups that may be of interest to them. So any of the other schools within the college. I think I'm kind of burbling a little. So basically what we've got is we have a landing site, which is called the entrance group. Within that, there's links to all of these groups. And I don't think you can read them very well, but it's chemistry, computing, engineering, geography and earth science, maths and stats, physics and astronomy, and a psychology group. So all the students sort of come into the entrance group before they arrive at Glasgow Uni, and then they join up all these groups, and they get a chance to speak to fellow classmates before they actually arrive. And then in August, once all the resets and everything's finished and the academic year is officially done, all the groups get rolled over to the next year. So now we're at a stage where we've got level 5 groups for maths and computing, which is quite exciting. So, is that okay? Is that clear? Right. So we found, you know, a lot of benefits to running these Facebook groups. So not least is the academic and the social interaction. So students do talk to each other about academic things a lot. They also use it for some kind of social interaction. Anytime I find a good resource, I will post that up. And actually, I don't actually post that many things. It's really the students that do it. So anytime they come across, if they're doing something in class, and particularly subjects that I'm not really very involved with, like all the physics and the geography and all the rest of it, if students find good videos or good resources, they link to them and put them in the group, which is really useful. What's really useful is that this is always available. It is always there. And so students use it when and as they get stuck. So if we had one of those traditional PAL sessions, you would have to wait 1 week before you could go to the next one and ask any questions. And when you're there, there's no guarantee that the topics you're stuck on or the questions you want to ask will come up. So whereas in the Facebook groups, you can just post whatever it is that you want to ask and you will get almost instant replies. And the other thing is, some of the students told us that what they do is when they're studying and stuff, and they keep an eye on Facebook groups, and they'll see some conversations coming up and they clock them. And they go, well, I haven't got to this topic yet, but when I get there, I know I can go back and look at these threads. What's also very important is the fact that everyone has an equal voice. So a lot of students will sometimes feel inhibited about speaking up in tutorials. If they're very shy, maybe, you know, English isn't their first language, they find it difficult to formulate questions. On the Facebook group, you know, you can think about what you're going to say. And sometimes the girls have said, you know, like particularly in subjects like, I don't know, just picking out two obvious ones, I guess, electrical engineering and aerospace, but there's a very, very small number of girls in that class. They sometimes say they feel inhibited about speaking up, and it's a good place for them to sort of say things. The clear articulation is a wonderful thing. Because I do math support with students, and they'll come and speak to me and they will ask me questions in person, and they wave their arms about a lot and they jab at notes and go, and they use the word thingy all the time. You know, if you take that thingy and put it into that thingy, and you think, what are you talking about? You know, and they don't seem to know the correct terminology. But if they said things like that on the group, they're not going to get any replies. And so they have to be really careful about how they word their questions, because otherwise there's no responses that will be forthcoming. So that's really great. It makes them think really carefully. So here are some examples. So I think sometimes people worry about the fact that people sort of just, you know, don't do their homework and just get answers off the groups. But, you know, we've never found that to happen. So this is during exam time. So there was someone who was revising vectors, and he was saying that he gets to this point and he doesn't know where to go next. So there's the question, there's his attempt that he's posted on, and said, now what do I do? And then there was a bunch of replies that came through.
Is it not a danger of cheating?
A lot of this stuff isn't assessed, it's just formative.
No, this was just exam, you know, during revision week, where they're all just sitting there revising and things and trying out. That was in fact from a past paper question. Yeah.
So that one.
Yeah.
Okay, next one.
So these are posts that came up in the entrance group. So these are conversations that people are having before they've arrived. And they were all talking to each other. It's really cool. I like that one where that person saying, where's my theoretical physics crew? And, you know, just said, you know, just saying hello to each other. That one was, I thought, really very nice. It's just somebody who was about to start and they were saying that they're a bit nervous about going and, you know, I understand there'll be other people feeling the same way. But I really like this bit where it says, I'd hate for anyone, including myself, to feel left out, alone, or worried. So please, if you see me around and you don't think I'm a crazy person after reading this, feel free to say hello. Yeah. And then one of the senior students who was on the groups replied over there and said, you know, it's perfectly normal to feel worried and scared when you're coming, but remember, nobody has to fend for themselves. There's plenty of ways to meet people. not least of which are all the societies available. And then we also get all the societies, like that one's just an example, astronomy society guy who's posted, and we also get all the maths, physics, engineering societies, all the senior students from there, you know, they post and invite students to join them, and they also publicise all the events that they're running. So
is this a closed group, or is it
a... It is a closed group, okay, yes, fine. Yes it is. Although having said that, we don't actually ever look up, because there's so many people, it's not possible to check that they really are students or not, but if they're not, it becomes very obvious.
Yeah, and then we get, and then we just remove them.
We do remove them, yeah.
Because they're because they're posting adverts about Ray-Bans.
So you have to add them to the group, basically.
Yes,
right.
Yes. Yes, they ask to join and we approve it.
Okay.
So registration and induction, we're sitting there just going, add. Shazia and I try and beat each other to do it.
I know.
And then did you email them? How did you notify them about the Facebook group?
I emailed them.
Right.
At the start of the year. Well, when I say start of the year, it's as soon as the exam results are out and people know that they have a confirmed place at Glasgow University. People in recruitment helped me with the email list.
And did they all have Facebook accounts, the people?
Well, presumably. It's not, obviously, it's not a compulsory thing. So I just email them and introduce myself and say I'm the maths advisor in the student learning service and, you know, looking forward to meeting you all when you arrive. But in the meantime, if you want to join this entrance group, you know, and how many do we get before everyone arrives?
600.
Easily 500 or 600 people before they've arrived. And then currently we're sitting on like 750 or something within the college.
So it's continued then, the activity?
Yeah, it does. Having said that, at this point, you know, after the first semester is finished, the entrance group kind of fizzles out now.
Mm.
And that's fine. But the other subject groups stay active. And some are more active than others. Some are really quiet.
So to answer your question about whether they have a Facebook profile, one of the things I do is I do a survey every other year of all the incoming first years. And one thing I ask them is about, do they have a Facebook account? And how often do they check it? And when we started doing this, it was up in like 96 or 97% of all respondents had a Facebook account. I haven't analysed my data for this year, but it's way over 90% again.
Sarah's the learning technologist, by the way. That's why she does that survey.
I just like Facebook. I came in because I like Lorna and Shazia, and I said, and Lorna said, oh, please help. I did.
Which is good, because Lorna then left. She doesn't work with us anymore, so I've got someone to help me.
Yes.
Which is great. So here's a conversation, which is, you know, around the time when the students are about to arrive and they have to enrol online and they have to pick their subjects. And so that's one of the senior students who said he's just finished first year and did maths, stats and computing in first year. And if anyone has questions about these, to ask. And I don't think you can see it, but there's 21 comments above all of this, right? And so there was this guy who wanted to know what would be the better computing. Would it be possible to do computing given he hadn't done it at school? And so I pointed him to the computing science group, because there'd been a big conversation going on over there about which modules are appropriate for which students. And so he clearly went on and he said, thank you very much. I looked it over and it answered all of my questions. The other thing is, that was the year when the new online enrollment system was rolled out, and it kept breaking every other day with hundreds of students trying to enroll. It was an absolute nightmare. And the Facebook group gave us this really clear indication of how stressful the process was for students. And following that, we did write a report, didn't
we?
We
sent a report to everybody we could in the university.
Yeah, everyone we could do, all the advisors, the VP, everyone.
Yeah.
We said, you know, these are all the problems that the students encountered this year. Okay, I think that's probably...
I think that is. So before the summer, we realised that our fourth year maths and comp sci folk were going to be graduating. So I stuck together a quick questionnaire. We got about nearly a 20% response, which was pretty good, I thought, as I was doing it while they were going into exams. So it's probably a great distraction for them. I've got some beautiful feedback, which I just put up there. So yes, they say keep going with it, and they encourage us to just do more. So Shazia does now send out more emails and more targeted emails, just to remind people that the Facebook groups are there. I can tell whenever Shazia sent an email, because there's suddenly a ping, 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 ping of all these people wanting to join. And I'll say, you just emailed the psychology students, didn't you? Yes.
So what about the actual Facebook groups? What's happening in those, subject area groups? You said that you set up one for introduction sort of thing.
That was the entrance group, yes.
The entrance group, and then there are other groups according to subject, is
yes.
that right?
Yes.
So we have an entrance group, and then in that you get links to each of the subject-specific groups, and then you can join those.
Okay.
And the groups are really, really different. The Comp Sci students are really collaborative. They get all the past papers and they work on solutions together and share them with each other. The maths tend to post stuff they've got problems with their formative assessment, and they're always wanting help from each other. Whereas the psychology people just seem to moan and get stressed.
So is it student driven then, or
yes,
is there any input from you guys?
Entirely
you
student.
Just leave it up to them.
Yeah.
We
or do you drop in and chat in there?
In the first year, we do quite a bit of telling them what to do, and but as time's going on, we've got the senior students, and we don't need to say anything, because the second years will tell the first years, hey, that's what I did last year.
Okay.
The third years tell the second years, the fourth years tell everybody everything, because they're right know-it-alls. And Shazia and I just sit back, and if we see after a couple of hours a question hasn't been answered, we might do something about it.
So the subject area is for all years, then it's not just for first years, right?
Well, the group is aimed at first years, but so. Predominantly all the first years, for example, will join the first year group, or many of them will. And then we also have a handful of senior students who have volunteered to join the groups.
Okay.
And then they will often answer questions.
They are absolutely fantastic.
Mm.
We've got the fourth year math student who's just so helpful with the first years.
How
did you recruit?
Well, at the end of the year, like in August, when I'm creating new groups, so I rename all the old ones. So the level twos become level threes, level threes become level fours, and then I post a link to the groups that are below them and say, these are the younger groups if you want to join them.
And
they do. A lot of them do.
Do you ever meet up? And if your helpful fourth year, if there's a first year who's really struggling, could they arrange to meet on the Facebook page, and then would you
not
know
that
about
we've,
that?
We not that we've ever seen. Sometimes the younger students might say something like, "Oh, I'm looking for a tutor. Can you recommend anyone?" And of course, I can't. But I just post on the fourth or fifth year group and say, "Anyone interested in tutoring a first year?" And then I will give them each other's email addresses, and that will be it really. Or they will talk to each other on Facebook. But it doesn't happen very often at all. This is a, maybe I've done this twice over the last few years. Yeah.
But they set up study groups as well. Quite often they're saying, okay, so who's up for going to the library at 2 o'clock on Friday? I'll book a room. And then you get an influx of people doing it. So it does shift from being online to being face-to-face as they need it. And they also set up their study groups in Facebook as well. So if they've got a particular group presentation, then they'll use the main group just to say, hey, we're going to set up a study group.
And then they'll say things like, we've booked blah, blah room in the library for this time. And then lots of people will comment underneath and say, right, see you there.
Do you have module groups as well?
No.
We just have one group for each subject for each year.
Mm.
Although we are...
Well, it's not technically a subject. It's technically the school.
School.
Yeah.
But schools are normally subjects.
Yeah.
And are all the academics in the school on it if they're on Facebook?
No.
Not a single one.
Don't let them in. We gatekeep.
Just you.
Yes.
Just us.
We think that we know it can be done. We know you do it and other academics
but
do it. Well.
I do it at module level,
yeah.
So it's different.
Yeah. It's
well,
just
those work very well as well, but they just have a different dynamic.
Yeah.
So,
no, I really like this. This is a really good idea.
The dynamic is great because they all go to Shazia for help with maths anyway, so they know Shazia. And I can say, I'm just a philosophy graduate, so they don't have any respect for me. So if they're having problems with physics, they don't mind saying it in front of me. Because I'm not so... And this is what they do say, that they're happy to talk about things that maybe they wouldn't say in front of their lectures.
Yeah, they'd be inhibited to say that. Well, they don't like to say things like, I don't understand anything in today's lecture. You can't say that to your lecturer, can you?
Well,
it's not really that.
Or that lecture was rubbish.
Yeah, this is how I stumbled upon the groups. Quite some time ago when a course rep, he had a Facebook group for the course, and there was loads and loads of posts, and I said, well, can I become a member? And he said, it's probably not a good idea because the students use it to complain about various things.
I think they have those as well.
Yeah.
So this isn't the only Facebook group for maths or computing or whatever. They have their own groups too. But the tone there is different, obviously. And because they know that there's two members of staff in these, it generally remains really very, very, very polite, and there's never any problems, really.
But they will say things like, oh, I wonder when these podcasts are going to go up. And I don't ever say to them, I'll find out, but actually I will just fire an email off and just say the students were wondering, and things like that.
You have a guideline for the Facebook groups, like when you were talking about some languages they were using. So do you have a guideline for the groups?
Well, when I email the students to invite them, the only thing I say in that is that we like to keep the posts polite and respectful. And that's about it, really. Yeah.
They're very good at self-policing.
And I think sometimes, you know, if on the odd occasion a student might say something that shouldn't be said, even before I've seen it, six people will have gone in and say, you shouldn't be speaking like that. That's you know, outrageous. That's out of order. You know, they do jump in first.
And there's nothing really, really bad, but they'll do things like they'll say big Morag about one of the lecturers. And she's very tall. And so you could say that to her face. So they say it gives them confidence. I love that one. It's like being a tutorial sometimes. Great. They thought on Facebook to socialise and we've got them doing learning. They appreciate getting help, getting perspectives. The collaborative exam solutions, I know that's the level 4.
Shall we move on? Side.
Yep. And this is our favourite comment. So, you know, dear Shazia and Sarah, it annoys me I might be missing out on interesting discussions. I would get great to encourage learning and discuss maths. However, I refuse to use Facebook. Moreover, I don't think Facebook's the correct place for discussing maths. University is the correct place. I don't want my university experience to become part of Facebook. Kind regards, Anon. Poor Anon. So we do realise it's not a perfect solution for everybody. It doesn't replace any of the formal mechanisms that are in place. It's an extra one. We very often compare it to going and booking a room in the student union and letting the students get on with it. And importantly, any official information that we post, we've found elsewhere or we're posting elsewhere. So it would also go out by Moodle or by email. Yeah.
Do you have a sense of that are any of the students in other contexts, do you know, doing the same thing but under the radar, i.e. doing it themselves?
Yes.
That's our experience, isn't it?
Yes, we know they do.
They always do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We knew that the psychology students before we started had a group that they call the Moan Zone. And they perceive it as a very negative place where they'll go and moan. And I know that if they say, oh, we discussed this in the other group. Mm. So we know they've got the one. That's fine. Mm.
They also, interestingly, use these groups. The class reps will use these to...
Yeah.
Give out announcements to students or to say, can you fill out this questionnaire because I have a student staff meeting coming up. I think they use this one kind of officially as well.
So we've had a few unofficial ones set up by the students which they've then asked us to come and join to give occasional comments and information.
That's quite a compliment, isn't it?
They feel they've got the ownership, so you don't get the kind of what are you doing in my Facebook space thing, because they've instigated the group and they've not used it as a moan zone, they've used it for real work.
Yeah. Do you get a remarkable number of friend requests from students despite, you know, when you know you're asking about guidelines and we send emails out, we do say in that staff do not generally friend students and you know, we expect you to keep your posts polite and respectful towards each other, but even then, you know, always amazes me, why would a student want to be friends with me on Facebook?
They want to know what you're up to the weekend.
Well, that's just it, it's so boring, you know, they're only going to be disappointed.
And they'll send us some private messages as well. Dear Shazia and Sarah, can you please go and look at this post because I want it answered, or, you know, I'll just ignore them. I do tend to friend the students once they get to be senior students. Because actually, in some cases, well, they are our friends.
You can run it from a kind of, I hate using the word corporate, but like, so if I work for Hallam, so I don't have to be me on it. could be Sheffield Hallam on it.
Yes.
So they're actually not bothering me, and I can choose when to, like, oh, we're going to do it, and choose when to use it and when to not.
Yes. So both Shazia and Lorna had professional Facebook profiles as well as personal ones. So obviously they didn't, because Facebook don't let you do it. But hypothetically they did.
Well, we didn't know at the time, because it was about 7 years ago that we decided we would test it out. So I just got this message from Lorna saying to me, can you just make a new Facebook profile and join this group now? Because, you know, I want to get it all started next week. And so, you know, we just did that. And I didn't realise at the time that you're not really supposed to have two Facebook profiles, but I do. And well, I hope no one here reports me. Please don't.
So I just started.
Be a disaster.
I just started with my profile because I know if I'm in a group, then they don't see any of my other information. And I choose when I go and interact with that group.
Over time, you're getting a lot of data that's being stored in this. Is there any... does the university, not necessarily you, but does the university have any sort of plans with that data? Would they like to use it for marketing purposes? Would they like to use it for, you know, to get more information on their academic practice?
They've shown absolutely no interest.
No, but you can see that could...
It could. There's we do have a social media person. What's her job title? What's Emma's job title?
I don't know.
I can't remember. Anyway, so there was a post that was created a couple of years ago for someone to come in and really revamp the university social media identity and all of that. And it's been very, very successful.
It's more that if you're a student and you're contributing to this, it's that thing that... It comes back to ownership. You're putting stuff up there, but it's not a space that's necessarily owned by you. It's a space that's being given over to you by the university on Facebook. So it's kind of, do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
So
yeah.
It's kind of, I just think there is an issue, there could potentially be an issue in the future, because whilst I think this is brilliant, but it's kind of having that boundary maybe set out very clearly, because I know from my experience that if the VC, poor VCs get wind of this in a big way, they will, you know, they could say, oh, you know, we can use this. So, you know, and because it happens.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. I spend quite a lot of time talking to Mario, who are marketing and recruitment, and they're not super. It's getting them to, they're not interested in engaging at the moment, but I think that you're right, they're probably just going to sit up and go, oh, got all that.
I think we need to hurry along because we're nearly done.
Well,
that's
I just want to find out the academic activities that take place in this group, is it planned or is it just an open thing? And do you have like a weekly activity?
No, it's entirely led by students. It's
okay.
Pretty much spontaneous.
The only thing is that right at the beginning, all the maths students have to do something called a skills test in the first year. And it comes as quite a surprise to some of them, quite a nasty shock. So Shazia, quite early on, will post a sample skills test. And they
I give it to them before they've arrived here.
Yeah.
I give them a sample one and say, you might want to have a look at this before you turn up. And lots of them do, and have lots of big conversations about it. Mm-hmm. Did you want to ask that, Sarah, before we finish up, about what anybody
could do? So is this something that you would use?
I'd like to use it, but I think you're in a unique position because you're staff members, but you're not directly involved in the course.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You're permanently employed community moderators that have the remit to do this. The only one I can think of doing it is getting lecturers to do, you know, I could do one for different schools and they could do one for my school. Because I don't know quite what your roles are, but I don't think we have people in those roles.
It's not something that we do as part of our role, it's something that we do because
something we do because we like it.
But Charity is in the School of Science and Engineering, which is why it's happened there. The Dean for Learning and Teaching from Arts approached us. He's approached us quite a few times, and he has a student intern. So when she started this year, she came and met with us for an hour, and now she's set up similar groups in arts. And he says he has this intern, he's going to get an intern each year, and he's going to use the intern. And again, she went and talked to the academics, and they felt that they thought the students would benefit more from them not being there.
Yes, yes, so I can see that entirely. Yes, thank you.
You get the students joining the group before they start. Do you then, weeks into the academic year, do you then go through to check to see that they are students? Because some of them, I guess, wouldn't have been wrong.
No, we don't. There's far too many to chase up like that. But when you do have members there who are not supposed to be there, it becomes very obvious.
Okay.